Blog Talk Radio.
Strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Welcome to this episode of A Sound Heart Radio. I'm going to begin reading from Genesis chapter 1, which is pivotal for our understanding of who God is and who we are in the sight of God. In fact, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are pivotal because they provide for us information about primeval history. And without the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we would have a very different view of God, ourselves, and this world. Needless to say, the first 11 chapters of Genesis have been under assault by critics, pseudo-learned critics, who believe that their rhetoric and their persuasive writing would take precedence over evidence. And so this became a very interesting exchange during the 19th century. And not only were the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis attacked, but the Pentateuch itself, the first five books of the Bible, were under attack. And they were said to have been written by different authors who redacted certain points of information. And so this became, these ideas became prominent and debated by scholars, let us say, for a long time. And it was the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls that finally put to rest these so-called scholarly arguments that sought to eviscerate scriptures. And so that is the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls forever put to rest these theories. Now, I say this because when I attended seminary, we discussed Julian Wellhausen, Hausen, and others, Jonas Strouk, the French critic, who also attacked the Word of God. Voltaire attacked the Word of God. He was a very prominent atheist during his time, and he said, Voltaire said that the Word of God would disappear. It would be no more. And what is very interesting about Voltaire's case is that the first printing press was set up in his home. And the first printing press printed the Bible. Voltaire died, and the Word of God went on. Julian Wellhausen theories or theory is put away. So we have to understand that the Word of God will always be attacked by the skeptics who want to assume an air of disdain, of contempt, and they want to deride those who believe the Word of God. Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. The Word of God remains. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His word will go forth and accomplish that which God sends it to accomplish." Now, in the first chapters of the Genesis document, we are given the account of the origin of creation. And please understand that cosmology implicates value. That is very powerful, and it is very important to understand that it is through our cosmology that we understand, or we create, or we derive our values, our worldview, from our cosmology. Think about that. And think about the exercise that has gone on in order to attempt to expunge God from the universe, to argue persuasively against the existence of God, as if the Creator could be subject to the arguments of men whose primary premise is that he does not exist. This is very interesting to me. And when I was younger, I would spend time reading this material. But then I began to realize that the premise, the major premise, was not there. And so these people wrestled with their own subjective viewpoints, and they would go and get supposedly scientific viewpoints that would argue persuasively against the existence of God, which is all very interesting to me, because scientific evidence comes and goes. And the moment it is written down, it becomes obsolete. So, God is primary. God is prior to creation. God is the author of creation. And so, for the believing ones, our cosmology begins with the creative activity of God. That God, of course, is creator. And the personality, divine personality, is prior to existence. Existence is not a part of the substance of God, and the existence depends upon the creative word of God. Please read Hebrews chapter 1. And please understand that John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos. That John chapter 1 predates Genesis chapter 1. This chapter 1 opens with the creative activity of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, begins with the eternal reality of the Logos. And so Genesis 1 begins with divine activity. or what we call biblical protology. Genesis 1 affirms the divine essence, the divine personality. It renounces atheism, pantheism, evolutionism. Because please understand that evolution, is a religious position. And it renounces polytheism, the eternal reality of mass energy, and fatalism. Existence is derived being. God is before or prior to existence. And so Genesis chapter 1 begins with this verse in the English. In beginning, and you can remove the article. In beginning, God created, or Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now in Hebrew, it begins with the plural noun Elohim. The I am suffix is plural on the end of the word of the noun Elohim. So the Genesis record in Hebrew begins Elohim bara. So God created the heaven, the Shamayim, and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. And note the state of being verb was. Now the earth was state of being verb, formless and empty, and darkness, choshek, a term that means impenetrable darkness. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The word deep is Tiham, and it means the roaring deep. And it is a picture of frightening, unbelievable chaos. And then the first act of God's creative activity at this time is given Genesis 1:3, and God said, light be, light was. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Notice throughout the reading of this, of Genesis 1, the emphasis on separation, not absolute separation. For instance, the clouds and the oceans are unitary. If one understands the water cycle and how the water cycle is inherent in the universe and the air ocean, we live at the bottom of a gravity well, and the earth is surrounded by an air ocean, an air envelope. It's interesting that the climate changers do not talk about this air envelope, and it is not disintegrating. It is, and it will not disintegrate. So there is that consistency. The earth is living organism. I'm not going to say A, but the earth is living organism. The earth is biodynamic. It is a living being created by God. And so we are surface dwellers. We are crust dwellers. We dwell on the crust of the earth, which is also dynamic and changes because it is a living organism. It is interesting that the climate changes absolutely state that the earth is disintegrating, certain things are disappearing to their political advantage. And so there's very weak science, very little science, very understanding of biology, very little understanding of the fact that the earth And it is all to create fear, to keep people on the edge, to create uncertainty, unrest, to keep people hyper-vigilant so that we would pay attention to the words of malignant narcissists who seek only to control through fear. And so now Genesis 1 uses the term bara. It is a verb only used for the creative activity of God. Ex nihilo, God creates from no thing. God creates from no thing or substance. Jacques Monod said that our number came up in the Monte Carlo game. In other words, by chance. He wrote a book that I have in my library that I read a long time ago, Chance and Necessity. And I came across an expression that read, lies, damn lies, and then statistics. So beware of those who want to talk about the statistical probability or improbability of life. Beware and ask for evidence. Paul wrote that we are to test everything. And, beloved, we need and we must test everything. We cannot have a passive attitude about what we hear. We must be investigators, painstaking investigators. Do not assume. Don't assume with me. I am constantly updating my material. I'm constantly studying, searching, refining what I know in order to be sharp about my faith. And so should you. Study hard, study well, study deep. Study with conscious ambition and holy ambition that you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the author of Genesis is highly skilled, highly knowledgeable. He uses the verb bara in Genesis 1:4, God's creative activity in Genesis 2. He does not use the verb bara. He uses Asa to make. And he uses yasar, to fashion or to form. In Genesis 2:7, we read that the Lord God formed yasar, man, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, there's a very important verse in the book of Isaiah that we must add to our study this morning. And so this is Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned, notice the language, made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty. The word empty is tohu. But formed it to be inhabited. That verb formed there in the text means sculpting topography. Sculpting topography. It is fashioning the surface of the earth in such a way that it would be inhabitable for humankind. Surface of the earth has been skillfully, wonderfully made. The topography has been especially designed by the Creator for human habitation. Now, real science would bring this out and would talk about this. and how these complex interactions work together. These complex arrangements work together on our behalf for our health, for our wellness, for our sense of balance. God sculpted the topography of the earth in a certain manner. So he goes on, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain or tohu. I, the Lord, speak truth. I declare reality. And so, at the end of verse 18, we read, I am the Lord, there is no other celebrity. There is only one celebrity, and that is God. He is the only celebrity. And so, I chuckle at times when the celebrities that we have are spoken about, and I think about God and who He is, and the being of God, the eternal necessity of God. Now, I'm spending some time with this because, I'm turning back to Genesis 3. We get to Genesis 3, we have a new situation. In the primeval document, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent, the nakash, is the word in Hebrew, nakash, was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. So he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Notice the language. The language is very skilled. The language is a trap. And it is much like a legal statement. For instance, have you stopped? Well, let's not say that. But notice the language. To answer it in any way would be to fall into a trap. And so in Hebrew, the term nakash, which is translated serpent, means to observe attentively. It also means brass or brazen. It also means serpent. And so here in the garden, we have the presence of the diabolic, or the presence of the diabolic in the garden of the light. And the enemy, that is Satan, still uses the same three strategies. The temptation, as recorded in Genesis 3, the temptation was to act independent of God. And so it is interesting that the woman is led into questioning the integrity of God. And her attempts to reply and correct the serpent, or the serpent's implication, has a deadly effect on her. So she added to and subtracted from God's original words. So this is a very dangerous situation. The enemy is highly skillful, and therefore, again, let me emphasize the importance of correct thinking according to the scripture. Remember in the temptation of Jesus that every reply that he gave to the serpent was from the book of Deuteronomy. And every reply that he gave to the enemy was to speak about his relationship, that is, the relationship of Jesus to the Word of God and to the presence and person of God. He knew that he could not speak in any other way, but thus saith the Lord. And so this is what Jesus did. He spoke the words of God, from the Word of God, from the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to emphasize this continually. Speak the word of God. Every word of God is pure. And when we stand upon the word of God, it is unlikely that we will go astray. It is unlikely that we will be misled. I wanted to speak to you this morning about this particular topic because of the world in which we live. We read and see heinous acts and events. Our ears are flooded and polluted with the most harrowing language and the things that people say because they are disconnected from themselves. People are disconnected. People are experiencing vast and incredible self-alienation. And no matter what they win legally, there will be no satisfaction because God knows how to let people have form without content. You may have a form, but the content will be lacking. You may be able to afford the best food, but your palate will be dead. You see, people jockey for position, people use rhetoric in order to lead astray or to lie, but the Hebrew language is incredible. There are different words that have been translated sin that tell us that consequence follows deed and that the individual is inextricably tied to his action. And so while we may think an individual is getting away with his or her crime, please understand that action and consequence are one in Hebrew thinking. My spirit shall not strive with man forever is given in the context of understanding, and that is in Genesis 6, that God will not always contend. The word there is a legal term, so it has to do with the most harrowing human behavior. And there came a point where God said no more, and God brought in the great Mabul, or the flood, to make an end to human behavior because it had just gotten out of control. Complete control. Yes, it was humanistic. Yes, it was political. Yes, it was philosophical. Yes, there was no ethos. Yes, it was relativistic or social relativism. People did what they wanted to do or believe that was right in their own eyes, and yet the God brought in judgment and ended that particular world. Beloved, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to give your life and heart to the Lord God. Do so today and enjoy eternal life, Jesus Christ, our Savior. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.